Cedar and Jake, Tuesday, October 21st, rehashing what went down on Sunday Night Football. Are you recovered physically, emotionally yet, Jake?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if we ever fully recover from anything. I think we all just get worse. Wow. But
wow. Yeah, sure. You sounded like me. I'll just lay it on you right now.
Yeah.
You've watched the tape a couple times. I've given it another glance. What stood out? What maybe did you notice upon the all 22 that you didn't notice in person, didn't notice the night of the game?
Yeah, I think Colton McKivitz, I think that's the best run game performance I've seen from him in a while, which is to say he's usually pretty good in the run game, but he was dominant. Like, he was clearing a pathway. There was that, and there's the fact that, like, and it wasn't on every play, but I think in the defining play, it sort of summed it up, where I think McCaffrey ran for like 15 and then they kneeled on it. Mm-hmm. It was like Kittle, Juice, and Farrell all made blocks.
Yes.
And you're like, that has not been happening. There was less motion, as Juice told us in the locker room after the game. It was either him motioning or it was just like a straight fly motion from Kendrick Bourne.
Was that, they call that what, spirit motion? That's the first spirit, I phrase.
I couldn't tell if it was which one he was referring to. Maybe that's what it is, spirit motion. That
it's spiritual. It's really just good for the soul. I thought that was an interesting phrasing. They have so many, bump motion, spirit motion, and then dash motion.
Dash.
I guess Kyle just has an intern that comes up with these names, and at some point it's all going to turn into whatever they're naming shit on Amazon right now. Where it's,
I like, you know, that.
We got scump. Like, it's like, I just wanted to buy a bike fork. So, yeah, it did feel like they simplified it. A lot more gap stuff. I don't think that gap is particularly simple. In fact, sometimes it's way more intricate and complicated than zone.
Right.
But it is more direct. Like, here is your man. Go hit that man.
And it's, and it's very clear who doesn't do their job. Right. Yes. With zone, where it's like a little muddied, it's like a little bit passing stuff off, someone else climbing. With gap, it's like, all right, it's the Plinko thing of he hit it. Oh, he did not.
He didn't get there.
He missed it.
And there was a lot of that in this game still, I would note.
Kendrick Bourne and Juwan Jennings both had, like, truly, Bourne and Kittle had it on the same rep. Bourne's was a little bit more horrific. And it's interesting because it's like, I think the question people still have is, like, upon watching, was it Kittle that, like, solved all of it? And it's like, no, but he surely helped. He definitely helped quite a bit, and he sprung quite a few runs. And I don't know what it is. I've been trying to figure it out, if it's just Kittle being on the field, but Farrell was just better. Farrell was, like, probably as good as that. He even hit that choice route, and I was like, what? What are we talking
about? It makes sense in retrospect. It's so difficult to comprehend, and maybe this is all just a fugazi and it goes away next week, but Luke Farrell is a serviceable tight end too. He has had to be a tight end one this entire time. And those are two very different roles. They just are. And
he knows what the tight end two role is. He knows where he fits in there.
Yeah. There is something to the fact that, like, Kittle had an up and down game. He's clearly operating on one leg, but in gap stuff, where it's pretty straightforward, go kill that guy. Like, there wasn't that much. He made a lot of really good blocks, a lot of really good reps. Farrell in the same way. I think that there's just something about the simplification of the offense. Make it hard for Juice, make it simple for everybody else. And I guess even Pooney, who's a pretty sharp dude. I think that offensive linemen always get a bad rap. Like, they're the ones who have to think the most on every play outside of the quarterback. But
yeah, Pooney, I think, still struggled. He was good on pulling, but also got beaten quite a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, his
pass pro is still a question.
I don't know what they're going to do. I guess he's just going to keep playing through it and just be at, like, what would you say? Like 60%?
50? Yeah. It's interesting because, I think I was the only one to talk to him after the game. Cause he immediately went into the training room, and I'm not sure if he's left yet from Sunday night. But he was like, I really like this gap stuff. Like, and it kind of does make sense. I remember his tape at Kansas when he was playing tackle, they would pinpole him all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And that was, like, the one thing that you could latch on to where it's like, that's why the Niners like him. They move him to guard, which he's clearly very capable of playing and probably was always going to be his position at the NFL level because of his arm length. But getting him into pulling situations, like, that's where he's fun. That's where he's never going to be Quentin Nelson, but he's damn good. And I don't know if it's 60% or whatever, but it is interesting that when I talk to him, he's like, that's what we should be doing. And it's like, no, maybe that's what you should be doing right now.
And McKivitz is like, some guys wouldn't play. So he's powering through.
What did you think of Connor Colby?
Not great.
Connor Colby, different Connor Colby, like different.
It's the same with him where you're like, oh, pretty good, pretty good. And then absolute disaster. Yeah. Like there's too much of that in his game where a guy just beats him really quick. Right. I mean, in my notes, you just go, there's so many where it's like Colby, no, like Colby, yikes.
Connor, why?
Yeah.
Stop.
And then the other guy that we should talk about, and I think this is a point where I think because the run game worked, there's going to be a natural inclination to say Jake Brendel's horrible and Matt Hennessy's much better than him.
They were the exact same in that game.
I would say Brendel was a little bit better in the run game and pretty bad in the pass game.
Yes.
Hennessy in the pass game, it looked like he kept getting bowled like 3 yards every time, but didn't get like fully beat. I don't know what to make of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that thing was right at the limit of when it would snap.
Right. Just surviving. Please get rid of the ball. I
that
can't.
Palm tree wanted to go and the hurricane was trying to get it. It just couldn't get it all the way. It's stuff's cracking in there. You don't even know.
But he had some pretty bad reps. I'll be interested to see. Clearly it's going to be him this next week. Like what that looks like with a full game of preparation and can he feel for it? Luckily I didn't have to throw the ball too much because the protections and all that are pretty tricky. But I wasn't, you know, I think people just naturally were sick of Brendel, which is fair. Let's not crown Hennessy as an upgrade because he's not.
No, there's a reason that he was on the bench. There's a reason that they have three other centers on the roster beyond
him. And I'm not saying he was horrific. He was fine, but he had some really bad reps too and had a couple good ones.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be just fine with him moving forward. And listen, in the sense of like, you're probably getting what Brendel was giving you. Like there was always this idea that maybe Brendel and you and I think are the only ones who talk about this and the only ones who would ever bring this to the table. But like he has told you in the past that it takes him a while to sort of like warm up in the season, that some stuff breaks up because he was awesome late last year. He was like legitimately good at it. And I think that's why the Niners are like, let's roll it back. And I, given how poorly he had performed and I do want to, I do want to note, like he's playing next to a rookie left guard right now, who's injured and playing next to a man who is a shell of himself at right guard
because
of injury. And you're running a zone blocking scheme where it's his job to, you know, double team and then get to the next level. He's having to double team both left and right at the same time. Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, and there's a lot of there's a lot of stunts teams are running against the Niners that they're just so susceptible to, where it's like they just the lateral ability in every single guy in the interior of that line is really bad. So lateral going backwards, like trying to back up and also handle a stun.
It is now. Yeah, I mean, McKivitz. McKivitz is probably the best one. That is not a skill set of his right now. Now, Trent used to be the greatest that I've ever seen at this.
Yeah, and Trent
that is not the case anymore.
Trent is still struggling with power, and he's also oversetting more than he used to. He's trying to get wide enough, and then that leaves him susceptible inside, and he doesn't have as much. But my God, he murdered James Pierce on that one play where Pierce is like, I'm going to just take a running start. And Trent's like,
no, you aren't.
Do you see me? Do you see me right here?
Get on the ground.
Which is also to say Mac, I think, was pretty good. I think.
Yeah, he was fine.
There wasn't a lot on his shoulders this game.
No, it was 2019 NFC Championship.
But it was pretty straightforward.
That is the way back in the day, Jimmy offense to a T. We are going to run the ball 40 times, whether we like it or not. We will only throw the ball on third down. hopefully it is third and short.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Jimmy offense, like Michael Penix, brother, what are we doing out there? There's one play I sent Dieter where it's like he locks in on the right side. He really locks in on stuff and it's pretty bad. Like locks in as in laser focuses on one read. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you see Drake London, the linebackers are the middle of the field's wide open. There's no one there. Drake London's coming open.
Yeah.
And he just goes, looks over a second too late. He's still open, doesn't throw it. And then he like, because his ACLs have been destroyed over the years and his body's been destroyed, he's like, I'm not scrambling ever. No.
He also can't really throw on the run.
It's very really frustrating watch. Yeah.
It was pretty incredible watching him throw on the run. He went out a couple times to his left in that game and he threw it into like the second row of players on the sideline. And that was not his intent. He was not throwing it away. He was trying to make a throw. There's some real issues there. I love his arm talent. And when he was at Washington, nobody read the field better. That guy was getting five progressions at Washington. That offensive line is good enough. By NFL standards, in this day and age, that offensive line is good enough.
I will say the 49ers did a good job, but it did feel to me there was a lot of good play, especially from like Huff, but it felt scheme. It felt like scheme versus scheme. That was the win, and Salah dominated. And I think that one play I sent you where they showed cover zero.
Yeah,
Penix goes to the line. He adjusts the protection. I think it was. And then they run man beaters. It's like shallow crosses. Try and get like a pick or a rub and just run two shallow crosses should be easy. And then the 49ers drop into zone. There's no chance. And Penix, who if you're like a sharp quarterback who's like seeing it and feeling it and identifying it, he should be able to say, oh, they're in zone. Let me take the one-on-one to Michael.
Yeah, here's a hot. Yeah.
Or to Kyle Pitts. Because it's one-on-one, no safety help against Daryl Luter. Good coverage, but like I will take Kyle Pitts in that matchup in a 50-50 ball and the possibility of a flag 100 times out of 100. And he just goes, oh, and then he's sacked. Like the internal clock is not there.
He is kind of in the Darnold zone right now where I feel like something happened. I don't know. I can't pinpoint when it was, but he does not have the same confidence. And they're front runner. I mean, Atlanta's front runners because Atlanta is a very basic schematic team. I mean, Zach Robinson's a joke. It's a joke what they run. It's all flash, no substance. I know people say that about like Mike McDaniel. Like Mike McDaniel has a tremendous amount of substance. It's just probably also, too much flash.
There's so much time in this game where you're like, it was never more than a two possession game. And you're like, why are you getting away from the run with Bijan? And why is the only way you're getting the ball in his hands on screens where the 49ers for once were actually pretty well prepared and funneling it?
There were important stretches where he wasn't on the field. And I think Tyler Algeier is a very, very good back. I also know that you're playing some guy named he had one catch. Who was just the rando wide receiver?
Washington. Yeah.
Never heard of that guy in my life.
Right, where they're like, let's have one-on-ones for him, but not Drake London. There was just so
let's
much.
Let's make sure that Charlie Warner's back here to pass pro in the backfield next in a pistol. Like, they ran their offense like it was Madden, or like it was NCAA football, where every play is individualized. There's no structure. There's no rhythm. There's no setups. It's all just play. Here's a play. It didn't seem like they even run choice routes because they would have had a tremendous amount of opportunities to just sit in the middle of the field a dozen times in a row for 9 yards at a time. And I knew it going into the game. You know, two of the takeaways that we had are that the Falcons will tell you what they're doing based on how they line up. And it's particular, you noted this in the post game, just where their wide receivers line up.
Yeah.
Are you in tight? Guess what? We're running it. Are you out wide? Guess what? We're throwing it. I mean, that's high school shit. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it really looked like a lot of like Big 12 type offense.
Well, and he's going to fit in next year as the head coach of Oklahoma State, which is happening. So there's that. Then there's the element of how is this your offense when you have Bijan Robinson? Like, how are you not using play action as a weapon?
Every play action, it takes like 15 seconds to develop. It's a strange offense, and it's funny because it's like I would like to see Mike McDaniel with the same.
They're not gonna.
I know
that coaching staff's getting fired at the end of the year.
No, I know. I'm just saying with this, I feel like it would be so much more straightforward. There'd be a lot of motions and stuff, but there would be fun. Get the ball into these guys' hands quick.
Yeah. The talent is there. The talent is there, and Mike McDaniel would have a field day because he would just make Penix into Tua.
Yeah.
And that would actually work in this circumstance because he can actually push the ball down the field. But the other takeaway that we had before I got just distraught about this goddamn Atlanta offense again is that they can be easily tricked, right? Because Penix is a one-read quarterback who will just throw it into the tight window. Now,
even that complete to Pitts on the sideline, like if Pinnock gets a little bit more depth, that's a pick too. Like totally. Totally.
I would say this. I don't think that Houston, just off of the cursory watch of last night's game, I don't think that Houston is some sort of like level up operation, but they are different in how they're going to go about their fuckeries. Like that's where I'm at. They're almost like an inverse team. Before we move on, like how much of the offensive line success had to do with Atlanta just being a bunch of skinny boys up there?
I think that's part of it. It's tough to like separate the two things, but I think there's an identification on the 49ers part, knowing exactly who their staff is, knowing exactly how they build their roster, knowing exactly, okay, these are the guys we're facing, including Leonard Floyd. We know what their weaknesses are. We're going to let them get upfield, and we're going to be able to bully them. Like, James Pierce had a couple nice reps, but for the most part, like, he's a skinny boy getting bullied. Like, Leonard Floyd's getting bullied. Like, those guys
knew exactly how to ruin Leonard Floyd's
life. And they just went, you're not involved in the play at all.
Right.
And I will say number 40, the backup linebacker with the cushion on his head.
Yeah. Not bad
for Atlanta. Yeah. I liked him.
They have players. This is the problem. Atlanta is a really good job when someone wants it next year. Like it's a really good job because they're like three players away. Like they're 1-3 technique. I think they could probably get by at linebacker. They're 1-3 technique away on defense and like one legitimate wide receiver, 2 away on offense from being.
Yeah.
Like maybe this is all, you know, dropped off on quarterback. Maybe they just don't have that guy and whatever, but like they're that close where
they're in an NFC championship with, one more piece and a better offensive coordinator.
I mean, that's just like one good offseason and you can get there. So like they're not far. The Packers have a preponderance of talent. That's the standard of talent. But
by the way, the Cowboys trying to trade for I forget who is it, but the Cowboys are trying to trade for a defensive end. It might be Trey Hendrickson. I think it's somebody else, but they are trying to get a defensive end. It's really
if only
they had one.
It's just so wild. It's been
Crosby. Tony.
Max less Crosby. Than 2
They're
months.
Trying to trade for Max Crosby.
Are they though? Okay, sorry, chat. I haven't seen this. Who said that they're trying to trade for Max Crosby? You can look it up, Jake. Because I just find the whole thing about like they're trying to trade for.
It's probably Crosby. Jerry said it. Like, let's be honest. Jerry's like, yeah.
Went on the fan today. It's just like, yeah, we're trying to trade for Crosby. Jerry Jones, older than Joe Biden.
Trey Wingo,
like the former ESPN guy?
Yeah, Trey Wingo. Yeah. Wow.
Trey Wingo, not a noted newsbreaker. Maybe he's right. I'll tell you this.
They've made inquiries.
Okay. I've made inquiries into having this podcast.
I keep trying to trade for
Jamar
Chase. It's not working.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Every day I ask to be the president of the United States and they just won't let me be.
I thought Ted McMillan in a first might interest him. He wasn't interested.
Oh, Jesus, Jake. No one gives a shit. By the way, if we're going to do it, the entirety of the Edgelords is up for sale. The Edgelords, of course.
Oh, being, your team's for sale?
My team is for sale. Y'all I'm want buying. The Edgelords? You can have them.
I'm buying right now.
Because Brock Purdy and George Kittle fucked me. This is why you never eat where you shit. That's the answer right there. I'm like, oh, these guys are going to have a really good year. Idiot. Moron.
What did you do with Jordan Mason?
What did I do with Jordan? I didn't have him. I tried
to get him. Probably time to trade him. Aaron Jones.
You think so? I don't know. I don't know. I my slop team, the Vikings, I feel like are just going to keep on going at this pace. And
yeah, but when Aaron Jones comes back, anyway,
Aaron Jones is old and washed. Larry asked me this question yesterday, and I'm going to give credit where it's due. This was a good question. I enjoyed it. It made my mind work. Can you give me your top five teams in the NFL right now?
Ooh,
in that order.
Give me like 2 seconds to look up every team in the NFL.
Yeah, sometimes you got to look at the logos. I'm with you. I'll give you mine. I got a lot of my preseason predictions incorrect.
Yeah.
As we all do. No one can foresee certain things, even though we try.
You're talking about just power rankings, vibes. Who do I feel?
Well, it's a good question because let me put it in the specific frame. The five teams that you feel are most likely to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
1 through 5. And I'll just say this. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back here. I'm maintaining Chiefs and Packers. That was my Super Bowl pick before the season with Mahomes as MVP. Sure. I have those guys 1 and 2, though I do think there's plenty of argument over 2. And frankly, the Packers don't deserve it. That's just me resting on priors. What's your 1-2 right now? And then we can get into the rest.
Ooh, Chiefs. The Colts have to be in the top five. I know, like, it might fall off a precipitous cliff.
Oh, no, I think it's
like, they're in the top five. So, Chiefs, Colts.
Well, no, I need it in order. Like, right now, oh, who's in your order. Super Bowl?
I can't do the Eagles. I can't do it either.
I think they're out.
I think they're out. There is the smallest part of me that wants to say the Steelers.
That's a bad take, Jake.
No, I know. They just
lost to Joe Flacco.
No, I know they're not a good team. I know.
Okay.
And I don't believe.
I just want to make sure you know, though.
Oh, I do. I'm not. They're not in the top five, but I'm considering it begrudgingly. Mm. I'm also begrudgingly considering the Broncos, who I just think have the. They're not for the Super Bowl, but the possibility to upset somebody in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'm stalling here. Okay.
Yeah,
obviously.
Clearly.
We got Colts. We got Chiefs. We got Packers.
I'll give you my top five.
Rams.
The Rams is the one.
Rams are in there.
As it stands, I'm going to go Chiefs, Packers, Rams, Bills, Colts. And the Bills are holding on for dear life. I think Seattle can get in that top five when
I would not put Seattle in there.
I feel like they can get there. That defense is so good. So good.
Dare
you put the San Francisco 49ers on that
no,
list?
No, I don't.
How long do you have to go?
I'm still deciding on a fifth team, and I'm looking at the AFC East.
Oh my.
And
oh my.
I'm not a true Drake May believer.
Oh my, he's doing it.
But there's something a little spicy there. I really like their defense. And I think they're a team that's going to go get somebody too at the deadline and add to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Their receiving's a little questionable, but it doesn't seem to matter. They've got a couple like veteran tight ends. In terms of like actually winning the Super Bowl, I don't really see it. I would pick the Bills over them, but yeah, I'll to be different, I'll say the Patriots over the Bills.
Okay.
What is wrong with Hutch today?
What is wrong?
A lot of things.
You're misfiring left and right. Chiefs, Packers, Rams, Bills, Colts is your definitive five, and Jake was somewhere around there.
That's what I landed at.
But it Patriots as a top five is spicy, caliente.
Yeah, it
makes me want to play the Jake's Take song.
Well, again, it's the the Bills defense, I don't believe in at all. It's just a question of like, if you get to the playoffs,
doesn't matter.
I just believe Josh Allen will kind of do anything.
I also think that schematically they're a very good defense and that they can make a trade. If you're the Bills right now, do you make a trade for a safety or a pass rusher? You only get one.
I think pass rusher.
Yeah, I think it's safety. I think DeMar Hamlin's been running on borrowed time in both a literal and metaphorical sense. He's awful. Right. He's awful.
Yeah. Do you believe in the Bucs at all?
No, I don't. And that's Baker. I can't get to over the hump with Baker as a bona fide. Like, they've just been so close in so many regular season games that it's just hard for me to believe that in a concentrated matchup that Baker's going to be able to come through for you in that way. They have a lot of talent. I think their secondary is super sus. And they need to blitz so much. That kind of shit burns you against really high caliber quarterbacks.
There's not a lot of teams to really believe in.
No. And you know what? They really shouldn't be. We're going into week 8. The NFL's all about parity. I think that the fact that we've gone from, you know, a couple of weeks ago, people were saying writing off Kansas City. I think I told everyone, like, this is as good as the odds are ever going to get for the Chiefs. And if they figure it out, you're going to look like a fool. I mentioned this to Larry last night. Like, what is this league all about? Coaching and quarterbacking. Well, who has the best coach? Probably Kansas City. Who has the best quarterback? Kansas City. Okay, so what are we doing here?
Like, right, and they have to be
pretty atrocious.
They have their classic, like, horrible person wide receiver who's back there.
It's everywhere.
They love bad people.
They're cheap. Bad people are cheap, and it allows you to overpay certain people who are, you know, maybe a little bit more benevolent.
What about the Chargers?
Now, I always find it a little bit funny as a lifelong Chargers fan, or at least my daughter's life Chargers fan. We watch a lot of Chargers football in this house, but I've kept an eye on the Chargers for a long time. I think, like most people, I've always had an affinity for the Chargers because
their line is pretty disastrous.
That's the thing. Everyone complains about the 49ers and all their injuries. Have you ever just taken a look at the Chargers year by year history? I mean, in perpetuity, what they got going on there is incredible. So I believe in their quarterback. I believe in their pass-catching weapons. I like Kamani Vidal. That offensive line, when Joe Alt comes back, I'm willing to have a conversation. But that defense is too banged up. And I think that they lack game-breaking talent on that defense right now outside of Derwin James.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Now, I do think Deion Henley is an incredible player. Derwin James is as good as it gets. I just need more from that defensive line. And Khalil Mack as sort of the poor man's Nick Bosa, where he's better against the run than the pass. But, like, he always has been. But it's not Jover or anything for him. It's just not game-breaking talent. That's the team, frankly, that needs Trey Hendrickson. That's the team that needs to go and do the splash.
Yeah.
That's the next question I got for you. The Niners are probably going to – they have to add
– That's exactly where I was going. Yep.
They're not going to go for the big fish. They never were. Now they have a good viable excuse to just grab, you know, a couple guys off the street. Like, if there's a Randy Gregory-type player that gets cut, they're picking his ass up. And then
right.
I mean, like, but, like, they just have to take swings at it on the defensive line right now. And I do think that people maybe overestimate how much draft capital they have. I know that there's some comp picks and stuff, but they've traded a lot of draft picks
over the last.
I think they only have, like, their first, second, third, and fifth, depending on what the Huff incentives are. So
yeah, they're going to lose their fourth, I think, if Huff gets to 8 sacks, I think. And that's probably – I mean, we'll see with the injury, but
The Huff one is brutal. So as it stands, sorry, I Cloudflare. Are you a robot? No, clearly I'm not. I'm trying to look up future NFL draft picks. No robot would ever do that.
I know, it's funny. Draft pick stuff is actually like there's not a great resource.
Oh no, prosportstransactions.com.
Well, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's so we're all looking. Sport. Let's all go over to Pro Sports Transactions.
So the 49ers will lose their fourth or fifth. And they've run out with all the compensatory picks they got from head coaches getting hired away from them. So they don't, I mean, not that they really helped because they were all third round picks that they just set on fire anyway.
Also add in that they're not going to have some big time free agent that's going to hit the market and get them a third or a fourth. Right. Like,
they're going to have a first, second, third, and probably a fifth.
Right.
And I think they have the sixth from the Commanders.
They did a swap. So it's the Commanders have their sixth, and the Niners got a sixth from the Vikings for Mason.
Right.
So as it stands, the Niners have a first, second, third.
Right. And they don't have a seventh because of Khalil Davis.
Khalil Davis. Thank God they made that deal. By the way, they traded a 27-6 for Sky Moore. Now, mind you, they got a seventh back, but like there is
right.
There is something there.
I do think, yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying there is something to say for the fact that this team, they have picks. And I don't think in retrospect they did anything wrong save for the Brian Robinson, Jordan Mason play, which was more of a cash play. I don't think Khalil Davis is clearly a wrong decision. But
right.
What are we going to do? You know, wring our hands over a seventh round pick? They just don't have that many assets to give up. So, like, yeah, they can trade their sixth round pick. That's fine. That's fine by me. What are you getting back for a sixth round pick at this point? Arden Key. Maybe.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I feel like their only real options are to go Dolphins or Jets. Hope the Jets are willing. But like the tough thing is like the Jets, you know, are packing it in anyway. So like they don't really need to I don't know. Like the fire sale doesn't, I think, make as much sense with like young guys who you can still build around. For the Dolphins, I think it makes more sense to get rid of like Chubb or Jalen Phillips, but those guys are both expensive in terms of cash.
Yeah.
So, which does mean like you might be able to get them for cheap. Like Jalen Phillips, I think would make sense, but he's
there's a lot of players. Yeah, so there's a lot of players that make sense, and they have the cap room to take them in this year. I think that the biggest thing that people need to think about is like this isn't baseball.
Yeah.
Right. Where there's so many moving parts. I know that the rosters are bigger than basketball, but like there's so many moving parts in baseball. Like you can trade your starting right fielder because you have two or three guys that you want to throw back out there sometime. Like you can just kind of throw caution to the wind with stuff. Like
right.
That. In football, the guys who are traded are guys who other teams on the trade market wildly overvalue. So you have to say yes. Which is rare because there's more trades as of late, but generally in my lifetime in the NFL, there's not that many trades. Or it's trying this, and this is really where trades happen. It's I will give you this draft pick to jump in line because you're about to cut this dude.
Right.
Whether that be in 2 weeks or in the off season, but with compensatory stuff, there's not as much of an incentive to trade guys because you're getting that pick anyway.
Like, right. Unless you're planning to lose. Yeah. Unless you're planning to like, yeah.
Unless someone's willing to pay more than that compensatory pick that's projected. Right. And these teams have multiple people, every person, every front office, even the most inept ones, Bengals, have a couple of people.
Just don't play that game at all. They just don't even calculate.
Some teams don't, but they all know what it should be, right?
Most do.
I'm telling you right now, every team at least can guesstimate. Some are doing it a little harder core than others.
Some, I'm just saying, some literally call the 49ers and other teams because they they don't have as good of a formula operating.
That's fair. So when it comes to the Niners, nobody thinks about this stuff more than the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, it's like compensatory picks are made of gold bars. They covet them. They crave the compensatory picks. They yearn for them, Jake. I think that they're just going to go. They're going to go to the Ross Dress for Less. They're going to see if they can find anything worthwhile, and maybe they can keep it in the wardrobe for a couple weeks, and it looks great, and then they'll just toss it out. They just don't have that much spending cash, particularly in that area, because they've already played that game so many times.
Yeah, I know. It's like you could go to a team like the Ravens. Does Kyle Van Noy do anything for you?
Does Kyle Van Noy still play?
He is still playing football, technically. Does David Ajabo do anything for you?
Not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Barnett from
the Texans.
But why would the other aspect of this is that
I know these
there's
teams are all
just enough time, and with everybody kind of sucking a little bit right now,
100%.
Where like you're like, who's the best team in football? And it's like, well, on merit, it's the Colts. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we all just sort of suck now, don't we?
Right.
So in that. Yeah, I mean, certainly there are teams like the Dolphins are a dead team walking. The Jets have no chance of winning the division. But they're also trying to like build something.
How dare you? Did you see Woody Johnson today, by the way?
What did he say?
The one I sent you where Woody Johnson's like, I go in and I give Aaron Glenn a hug every day. And I tell him, I believe in you. I almost did a who's our former president that used to be an actor? It sounded a lot
A Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, that's how I imagine Woody Johnson.
I tell him every day, I believe in you. But like, if you're Arizona right now at 2-5, I think that obviously this doesn't apply to the Niners because they would never make an in-division trade like that. But like, I think there would be other teams that would be looking and saying like, ooh, who could we poach? But the Cardinals are also like -1 point differential and haven't had their shitty quarterback. Which might have been a benefit to them. And like, in the NFC, right, the Saints suck, but the Saints are trying to build to something first year with a new head coach. Cardinals kind of have to figure out, they have to play this thing to the end so that they know if their head coach sucks or not.
Yep.
The Giants are all fighting for their jobs. So, like, they're not going to help the next guy. That's the NFC right there. Those are the teams that you could even consider tradable. Tennessee is in.
I mean, Miles Murphy.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. I know.
I mean, this is what we're talking about. We're going to end up, and we'll have to like reverse engineer.
They will, I think they will do this. They will make some sort of shitty deal for someone who you go.
I think it'll be more than one. I think that they're going to bring in a couple of bodies, and I think
if they deal anyone. It's like a two in one out situation, and they see if someone wants like Jennings or something. I think they probably end up holding on, but. There's something to be said there. Like, what if you get a couple good games from Kevin Givens and you say, you know what? We don't need Kevin Givens. Like,
well, great. So let's go get another defensive lineman to replace a good defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a little galaxy
different positions. Buddy, this whole situation is galaxy brain.
What if someone just really enjoyed that Nick Martin special teams tape and you're like, can we interest you in a recent top 75 overall pick? Because that brings us to really the news of the day, which is Stone Blanton signed to the practice squad, as we told you on Sunday night was going to happen. No inside information other than Kyle sorts by, did he play for me before? Yes.
Correct.
Bring him back. So Blanton's up. The Martin special teams was bad with one good rep, which is also the Saran Neal special teams experience.
Right, but when
Malik Turner, though,
when you're explicitly responsible for like a 45-yard return,
yeah,
not good,
not great. Going to show up on the film. Also, it's not like he has anything else to do.
Also, only playing on kickoffs, not on punt returns. So.
Future Pro Bowler right there.
Future Hall of Famer, I would say.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, possibly redefining the position. But and now they can suck. I don't want to write off Nick Martin as a player, because one, it does sound like he's doing all the right stuff behind the scenes and that he's like a good pro and all. And two, like Tatum Bethune was in a very similar situation. Now let's talk.
Yeah,
obviously
it takes some time.
A little bit different in draft capital spent. That's not, he didn't ask to be drafted 75.
Correct.
That's the Niner. This is the Niners' heir, not his. But Bethune, it's night and day from where he was a year ago at this time. So,
oh yeah. I mean, I don't think I mentioned it enough. Bethune was phenomenal in this game.
Yeah.
In terms of like the physicality, like, is he going to be a great coverage player the way Warner was? Probably not in the same way. They haven't tested him enough to really say definitively. I mean, he doesn't. No, no one's going to be with Fred Warner.
No, he's Fred Warner. This is what, when people talk about replacing Trent Williams, like, this is it. Like, Tatum Bethune's a good linebacker. Like, Tatum Bethune can play. I don't know I don't know if he's like a universal starter in the league, but there are like a handful of teams in the league where he's a better option.
He's bringing a level of physicality that's like showed up on multiple plays to make a stop.
Unquestionably. Like, he deserves to be on the field.
Huge reason they couldn't run the ball.
100%. Great gap filler. Smart. Had his defense organized. Big thing. He's the dot. Great game from Tatum Bethune. Not even close to a Fred Warner performance. And so when people are like, oh, they have to get a replacement for Trent Williams, like, just remember this framing.
Right. But like, you know, people are talking about the concept of literally you need a player to take over when they're done.
Oh, no. That is accurate.
Right.
There needs to be an actual person on the team who could, correct, in fact, play the position. They do not currently have one of those, from what I can tell. I agree with that. That is obvious. But in terms of that can be anyone from anywhere, by the way. You just have to find that guy. Now, do you need to use a tremendous amount of draft capital? Perhaps. Perhaps you need to use a first-round pick. Perhaps you don't. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, unless you really, really, really suck, which I think at this point we can rule out for the San Francisco 49ers, you're not getting high enough in the draft to come anywhere near the talent level of a Trent Williams. That guy doesn't fall, unless that guy stabbed his head coach in the neck right before the draft. He's not falling to you.
Is the head coach die in this scenario?
I would, no, because otherwise, you know,
otherwise he probably can't be drafted. Yeah. Right.
This guy would have to do not just the gas mask. He would have to, you know, hot box an entire room of toddlers to fall to you. Like, there's no way to get a Trent Williams caliber talent in the 20s in the draft.
Sometimes there is.
I mean, that is some serious luck then. That's not strategy.
Yeah,
that's luck.
Yeah, you're right, though. What always happens is, like, you sort of expect, you're like, oh, well, you could get him. And then it's like all the teens pick 8 through 20 is like a run on the best tackles.
This is the year, by the way. This is the one year where I can imagine a circumstance where the Niners get just preposterously lucky, and that, let's just call it 22, they have a guy with top 10 talent at the offensive tackle position just sitting there for him. This is the one year, because I think there's going to be a quarterback run. Not that the quarterbacks are good, but just because the teams are bad and need the quarterbacks. And then I think that there are like at least 5, maybe 7 first round tackles. This Isaiah World kid for Oregon is unbelievable.
Crazy name. Love it.
10 out of 10 name. Caden Proctor is going to have, he's going to be the most divisive prospect of this cycle. There will be people who will say that he's a top 3 player, and there will be people who say he shouldn't get drafted until the 3rd round. He's going to be the divisive player. He's going to be Trey Amos for us on steroids, Jake. I'm telling you right now. That is the win. There is I have envisioned the future. I use my talents to see the future on the stupidest shit possible. None of it has been lucrative to me, but I can tell you there is a mental model that I am operating under where there is a faint but plausible possibility that Caden Proctor, who has, I think, the talent to be a Trent Williams replacement, falls to the 49ers at the end of the first round. Not the all the way end, but like a reasonable end. So they might get away with it. But in general, keep the framing of here's Fred Warner, here's Tatum Bethune. They're both well above the line right. of good enough to play linebacker in the NFL. One of them is just, as I joked earlier, redefining the position. And the other one is like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Right. I'm looking just for shits just to see like who could actually get signed away. Their only like options to get comp picks are like Elliott, Jennings, theoretically Kendrick Bourne, but not really. Sam O's an RFA, not really.
No.
Burford is still a free agent. That could get something.
No, Burford might as well have already re-signed with the Niners. Like, they're not letting him out of the building.
Right. So yeah, they have basically they don't really just have call on stuff. It's just Juwan Jennings.
Larry did say, like, well, if Mac Elliott. Jones keeps performing like this, you can get a day two pick for him.
He's signed for another year.
No. I'm saying you can get a day two pick for him in a trade.
Right. What is that?
And then you need to go and get a backup quarterback. So, like, if Curtis Rourke looks so good, then you can. I mean, there's Galaxy Brain and there's
Curtis Rourke this season. They said they're going to let him practice for 3 weeks and then shut him back down.
That's fine. He might look so fucking good in those 3 weeks. You have no idea. Also, like, I would like to note that Adrian Martinez is their third quarterback. So if Curtis Rourke looks good, I would not just shut him down. Like, no offense to Adrian Martinez, but like, I'm going to go with the Curtis Rourke.
Adrian Martinez is on the practice squad, though.
Well, I'm just saying he's their third quarterback.
That's fair.
And as we've noted, like, kind of the most important position in football, quarterback. Second most important position in football, backup quarterback.
Yeah, trading away Mac Jones is insane.
It's insane. Especially when you have a great backup quarterback who knows that he's the backup. So,
yeah. Should we hit some questions before we get out of here?
I think we should.
All right. Benali, is this run game performance sustainable and replicable? Ooh. Or was it just a one-time perfect storm versus the Falcons? Great question.
I got an answer for that.
Go for it.
I'd love to hear yours. But I think that this run game performance is absolutely sustainable. I don't think it will be specifically replicable. It is absolutely a byproduct of great circumstance because it was great coaching. They were one step ahead of everything Atlanta did, and they used Atlanta's strengths and turned them into weaknesses. That's like the definitive phrase when we're talking about great coaching. And by the way, both Sala and Shanahan did that. That's not the first time they've done it this season. It won't be the last time. They might do it again on Sunday against a coaching staff that they're deeply familiar with.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm not expecting them to run for, you know, $150 every single week.
No.
But I do think they have tapped into something that they know has worked, and it adds something where defenses have to prepare a little differently for what they're bringing to the table and can't fully sell out on outside zone. They have to, it just puts defenses on their back foot a little bit and makes them a little bit more cautious. Or if you're going to be hyper aggressive, then they will beat you that way.
Right.
So I think it's given them a new avenue to produce on the ground that they did not have before. So I do think the run game will look better going forward. I don't know that it will be consistent or consistently dominant, but I do think it will look better.
This team, you need two types of ways to win in the NFL. And while I do think that the defense deserves plaudits, like, that felt neither sustainable nor replicable. That performance, because it required a quarterback to soil himself repeatedly off of like a modicum of pressure. Just
right.
I mean, kind of the Zach Robinson, just like, look over here energy was what Robert Saleh was doing. And Zach Robinson, like a toddler with, you know, like a baby with keys, was like, oh, look over there. And Michael Penix had no idea what to do. So
that,
two types of ways to win. They can throw it. They can throw to win. They've shown that repeatedly. They can't pass pro worth a damn, but Mac Jones can throw to win. Went 300 yards three times already, twice this season.
Yeah.
And then now I think they can run to win because of exactly what you said. Having the gap available to them just puts defenses in a position where they can't sell out to stop.
And one the offensive kind of line has proven to itself that it can like function that way and goes, oh, maybe we don't suck completely.
Yeah.
Like there's a psychological element of like proving to yourself that you can do the thing and 100%. You know what that feels like and what that looks like.
I mean, fundamentally too. Sorry, I'm not trying to just get the last word in. Like, I think this is a good topic of conversation. Like, fundamentally, I would say that every every offense at any level sub NFL is like, when all else fails, run power. And it took the Niners 7 weeks to be like, oh, we should run power. Like, because if you can run power, now you can build an offense. There are entire collegiate programs who just run power. That's their only play, in effect. There's a lot of extra crap going on in the back. They're just running power. And those teams win 10 games a season. It's called triple option service academy football and Rice. And yeah, by the way, it's awesome.
Look at those midshipmen.
The midshipmen are on the rise. I would love the midshipmen in the playoff. God, wouldn't that be a blast?
I think they play Notre Dame in what, a week, I think. So we'll see.
Marcus Freeman, you know, Marcus Freeman lets his guard down.
I don't trust anything about Notre Dame. I'm not ruling it out.
Nor should you. God, the midshipmen. I love
one loss and they make the playoff. I think
if everyone was wondering why I was so generally giddy off of that game on Sunday, it's not because the Niners won. It's because they effectively ran option football for four straight quarters. And it's my favorite thing.
He asked Juice. He's like, did you feel like you were in the Navy? He's like, yes, I did.
Yeah. And I love talking to offensive linemen after games because it's hard to do it when you lose, because then the offensive linemen get blamed, right? Even if it wasn't really their fault. And then you have to go talk to big, sensitive men, emotionally sensitive, not physically, about like, why do you suck? That's no fun. No one wants to do that. But when you get an offensive line mauler game, that's the best locker room of the year.
Yeah.
So I hope it's replicable and repeatable, because I want to keep doing that.
Let's rip through a few here. Can you double dip on rehired coach like Saleh? If Saleh got a new gig, you can, I believe.
In terms of comp picks, yeah.
Awesome question, because I don't think it's happened yet before.
What you need is a token hire. You need to do the NVIDIA OpenAI deal.
Well, assuming where it's the just NFL keeps that program going under this president.
Yeah, Dear Leader might say that that's against the rules these days, but like there, you know, the OpenAI NVIDIA deal. Where OpenAI wants to buy the chips from NVIDIA.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, so we'll invest the exact amount of money you need. So that it's not a pyramid. It's a circle scheme. Right. It's kind of like that, where you just have one guy of mixed race or whatever, but some guy who qualifies, and one team hires him, and you just back and forth them. It would have worked great between the Raiders and the Niners. The guy wouldn't have had to move. But like the Chargers and the Rams should get in on this, where they each just get themselves a fourth round pick every year because they trade that guy back and forth.
I like it.
It's a thought.
Did Martin play any snaps on defense in the regular season so far? No.
Nope.
Tony, can he come in as a situational third down edge rusher? Something I've thrown out there. Luke Gifford's not doing much, but I don't think they trust anything about what Martin does right now. On that front, Robbie, I hope Nick Martin turns into something, just so Dieter and Hutch can be reminded every day of all the shit they talked about him, unlikely as that may be. Listen, if he turns out to be great, it'll be fun to cover. I like good football. He just has not done that yet. Maybe.
It was a bad pick then.
Yep.
The commentary is on the 49ers. It sometimes feels like personal attack. I have nothing against Nick Martin.
I hope he succeeds. I hope he turns out to be a sick player.
I hope every player fulfills their full potential monetarily, on the field, all that. Because why would you wish ill? There are some bad dudes who I'll just keep my mouth shut about, but like, there's no testament that Nick Martin's a bad dude. And again, he didn't ask. I'm sure he would have asked to pick one because it's more money, but like, he didn't pick himself at 75. This is an indictment of the Niners and their process that got to a point where you had a top 100 pick, and a top 100 pick means has a role on day one, and they can't find any role for this guy. They can't find one. So that's an indictment on the Niners, and we have to talk shit about Martin, and it's not shit, it's criticism. I hope that it might come across as too strong and like we're personally trashing him, but we're just speaking about what his output is on the field. We have to highlight that, because it highlights the failure in draft process, which deserves constant criticism. This team needs depth every week. They need more depth.
It's the 75th overall pick, and they got a guy that they really don't feel comfortable putting on the field.
Can't find a special teams role for him, Jake.
Well, now he's playing on kickoffs only, and one of those went straight through his face.
But this team is so talented, that's the only place they could possibly use pick 75. I mean, every other spot is taken.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. A couple from PDX Niner before we get out of here. Do you think they're active for middle tier free agents this year? No.
I think there's an ascertainable way to tell you that. Hold on.
I think one. I think they get like literally one or two mid tier guys, and then the rest.
I thought you were about to make several points.
Nope.
You're like, what? No. Okay. So Niners 2026 spending that's already on the books is tops in the NFL.
They're rolling it over. They still have so much money committed, and they just need to keep rolling their cap over year after year after year. I think they're done spending in free agency forever.
Kinda, because they have 271.6 on the books, and there is a pretty clear cash cap that the 49ers give themselves.
So yeah, I think they'll get one or two at most. Are you seeing Michael develop more moves? I wouldn't say he's like adding multiple to his repertoire. I think his hands are slowly getting better.
He's getting a better feel for how to get away from blocks.
He's really got it's just power, and then it's an underarm rip,
yeah,
or a swipe. And if he can get just quicker and more direct at like what body part he's attacking, like figure out if I get here under the arm, this is what gets me past it, that'll be great for him.
I'll say this. I think that if you were to build a bag, this is the way to go about it. Start
with power.
Well, yeah. And everything that he's building upon is going to be fully refined. Then he'll move on to the next aspect, and then that will be fully refined. And then, so then it's not this just sort of throwing it against the wall and seeing if something works every now and again. Like, he's building it from the ground up. And at 20 years old, he has the time and the opportunity.
Crazy. He's 20 years old.
He's 20 years old. I mean, there are college players who are like 6 years older than him.
And every single game you go, yeah, he was just objectively good. Like every game. Last one before we get out of here. Damien, this is something I wanted to mention. Damien, Luter's bad. Lenore has been solid except for the egregious penalties. Luter's bad. He's bad. He can tackle. He's a good tackler. But he's getting cooked in coverage. I mean, there's one that Drake London ran a little whip route against him. I shit you not. Again, he's running a whip route less than 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. He got like 4 yards of separation. Mm-hmm. It's ugly.
It's nothing new. This is what you get with Daryl Luter.
Yeah.
If you want to run cover three, that's fine. Now, I credit to the Niners corners and nickels. Like, they tackled really well. Mm-hmm. That's a huge aspect of winning. But in this day and age where you are mixing coverages, rotating coverages, a lot of deception on defense, you're not just dropping into your stuff and trying to win man versus a man. You really need to have great corners to get away with all that bullshit. Or at least
pretty sharp corners who, like, if not elite talent-wise, elite mentally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And right now they don't have that. They don't have one of those that are healthy.
No, there's still so many miscommunications in the secondary. Last one. Yeah. Last one from Robbie. Are Jordan Watkins and Jordan James real people? Cannot be confirmed. So
I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see Jordan Watkins on the basis. On the basis of, as you noted, Malik Turner, special teams savant.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to play. Someone else asked if he's going to play. No, I don't. I don't, because it's like you have...
He's your Conley. He's your Chris Conley.
Jennings, Robinson is born. Those are your three wide receivers. Sky Moore is your fourth. Turner actually played a snap on offense. Yeah. But Turner's your gunner. He's an elite special teamer. And Moore's your returner.
He had a great game. I don't know if I'm ready to call him an elite special teamer yet. Compared to his peers.
He's a good special teamer who had a great special teams game.
Yeah.
And Watkins, I don't know where he fit in there. Ricky Pearsall will come back.
Theoretically.
So
here we go. Yeah, sorry, I'm going to add one more. If the Falcons just cut Ray, sort by did he play for me before? Though there does seem to be
something weird there.
There's a weird thing there. There's also a weird thing going on with Josh Simmons and the Chiefs right now, where he's just like in California and like They're not talking about why. We're kind of in a Wiggins zone with all that. So
don't ask, and if you do ask, how dare you ask?
Yeah, you
but we won't provide you an explanation. No, and it keeps going on, but we won't.
No, talk. How dare you do your job, journalist?
Right. Anyway, so
that's that. Something to keep an eye on. They're going to be adding some dudes here, though.
I mean, they have to. We will talk to you, fellas, ladies, all of the above, on Thursday. So bye. See you then.